All right. Good morning, church. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Gabe Stace, and I'm a senior here at Waseca. And since early December, when I came across this passage in Hebrews, God made it evident to me that should I get the opportunity to preach, that this is the passage I should use. And in the past, I've only preached a couple of times. But what I love about preaching is all the preparation and meditation and prayer and full reliance of God that comes all leading up to the message, and just the full dependence on Him to give me the clearness of mind to successfully convey what He has spoken to us. So to start, I'm going to have Jacob Paul come up and read our main passage in Hebrews 6. It'll be on the slides on in the ESV version.
Where is this on? Let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instruction about washing, the laying of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, and shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tested the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God, to their own harm, and holding Him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain, and has often fallen on it, it produces a crop useful to those who sake it, and is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and it is in the end to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, have, through faith and patience, inherit their promises.
Thank you, Jacob. Let us pray as we prepare to uncover God's teaching to us today. Lord, let my mouth speak the words that you would have me to say, and let our hearts and ears receive what you would have us to hear today. In Christ's name, amen. All right. So in our notes, we must mature in our faith and in our learnings of God. Just as some background, I'm going to read from Hebrews 5:11 through 14. Getting into this. Oh, thank you. All right. So about this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. All right. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance. Now that not laying again a foundation is important because we already have a foundation. We have the fundamental teachings of God, and we don't need to lay another foundation. Christ is the cornerstone. But we should note, however, that this foundation is extremely important, obviously, and at times it needs to be taught again. Like Hebrews 5:12 said, which was a warning against apostasy, and in reference to those who have fallen away from Christ, you need someone to teach again the basic principles of God for those people. But we already have this foundation. So there's a difference between teaching again that foundation and laying again the foundation. Like in math, we have four foundational building blocks in math that we learn in elementary school. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. But as we move on into higher levels of math in high schools and in high school and in college, we need to advance that and use advanced applications upon those simple concepts. But there's no reason to lay again the foundation of those four principles because we already have them. They aren't going to change. So sometimes, and my mom knows this as a math teacher, students might need to be retaught the basics, but there is no foundation that needs to be laid again. So because of this truth, we must become spiritually mature. Go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instructions about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. In our youth groups, we started doing prayer pods. And that's when we get together in a group and we're praying intentionally strategic prayers for a purpose as a group, learning how to pray. And that's just an example of some of the advanced applicational practices that we use to stir up our spiritual lives and advance the kingdom of God. But notice, we will only do this if God permits. Now, that to me, that statement seems kind of odd. Why wouldn't God permit us to move on into maturity? But this is more reflective of a response from ourselves than it is on God not allowing us to move on to maturity. So that brings us to our second point. We must respond to the goodness and love of God. Hebrews 6, verse 4 says, "For it is impossible." And I'm going to pause there because we don't like that word as Christians. We like to think that this word is non-existent. It never applies to us as followers of Christ. But this actually proves to be true. The author of Hebrews makes it clear as we read on that repentance is only impossible in the case of apostasy and for those who have tasted the goodness of Christ. As we read, "For it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt." So, again, these are apostates' failure to respond to all the goodness that God offers us. Sometimes we get... They have turned away from God's teachings and have actually rejected and shamed Christ after tasting the heavenly gift. They've been in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of his word, yet they have rejected and shamed Christ. James 2:19 says, "You believe that there is one God." Good. Even demons believe that and shudder. So this draws a response from us that we need to have. But it also brings us to some questions of what exactly we're responding to. So let's discover that. Let us be saturated by God's word and his graces. I love the series that Pastor Chris had a few months ago leading up to our summit conference called Placing Ourselves in Paths of Grace. In that series, we talked about what we can do be doing to intentionally place ourselves in these paths so that we can fully experience and respond to what God has to offer us. And we can do this when we are intentional in meeting with God and his people and placing ourselves in situations of vulnerability with other followers of Christ. And this is something that we have done as a youth group. With all the people, all the students signed up for District Blitz and for our challenge conference later in the summer. In Sunday school, we've been very intentional about getting in the Word, going through Revelation. And many students in our youth group are involved in various Bible studies. Advance the slide. Thank you. Except I don't think this is where I want to be. See, we should be back in verse 7 and 8. Okay. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God. Now, that's important for us in the response side of when we are being saturated by God's word and his graces. It's important for us in that response to bear fruit in order to become spiritually mature. Some of these fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are some of the fruits that should be showing in our spiritual lives. And it should come rather easy to us when we are allowing ourselves to be saturated by his word and his graces. And then also a warning, I forget that that doesn't work. But if it, the land, our lives, bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and its end is to be burned. Now, how do we avoid that in our lives when we're trying to do everything we can to become spiritually mature? And when we are allowing ourselves to be saturated by God's word, surrounding ourselves with godly people, learning godly messages, how do we prevent that from happening? Well, and what about times when we feel too tired, too spiritually tired to keep maturing in our faith? Where will we look to? And the answer lies in our ever-present hope that we have as followers of Christ. In preparing for this message, I listened to three previous sermons from Pastor John Piper that were from Hebrews 6. And one of the questions he brought up is, what is hope? And more importantly, what is the Christian's hope? And one of the interesting things he said was, in many ways, hope is a conflict within the Christian's soul. As we see in Psalm 42:5, the psalmist writes, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." And that right there illustrates some of the conflict we might have when we are down, when we are feeling tired, when we don't see God working in our lives, when we aren't bearing the fruits that we would like to bear. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? And he answers himself, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Later in Pastor John's message, one of them that I listened to, he calls hope an emotional reservoir within us. It's a hope that allows us to stay on the narrow path of obedience as we face trials of all kinds. He also said in this message, and I love this quote, that hoping in God does not come naturally for sinners like us. We must preach it to ourselves and preach it diligently and forcefully, or we will give way to a downcast and disquieted spirit. But for those of us who are in that situation, who are feeling downcast and are spiritually tired, Piper says, the best sermon you preach yourself this week may be only 3 words long. Hope in God. And I don't know where you're at, but if that's all you can muster, then that's okay. If that's where you're at right now, that's okay. 3 words long. Hope in God. It is important to note that our hope isn't the same as the hope that the world understands it as. Because worldly hope expresses doubt. I might say, I hope that the Packers win. I hope that the Timberwolves win tonight. A child might say, I hope Dad makes it home safely. But when we say that, we are expressing doubt. But let's look at the language that the author of Hebrews uses in Hebrews 6, 9 through 12 that we have as Christians. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, the author is mainly talking to followers of Christ, not talking about apostates, as we saw in verses 4 through 8. His main message is for us. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we are convinced of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do. Now, God being not unjust, that's important for us to understand when we look back at the apostates who have rejected Christ and his message after tasting the goodness. God is not unjust in saying it is impossible for you to come back to repentance, because they have crucified once again the Son of God. But we move on, and we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Convinced of better things. He's not unjust to answer the love and work that we show. We have the full assurance of hope through faith, through spiritually mature faith in God, so that we may not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Brothers and sisters, this is the hope that we have when we follow Christ. Hebrews 6, 19 through 20 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever. So, what should we remember about this message, and what should we take home with us? Well, here's our application. Let us experience sanctification in Christ by means of enduring spiritual maturation through godly saturation. That's it.